Welcome everybody to episode 26 of So You're Gonna Die, or if we're following the Detroit Red Wings as our episode, this would be a Joey Koser episode. Oh, Joey Koser. Oh my God. The man literally had surgery on his knuckle because he fought so much in the NHL that he couldn't close his fist, and he had to retire from the game, then he had surgery on it, and saw during a golfing game that he could close his fist on the golf club, and the Red Wings brought him back, and he ended up winning the Stanley Cup for the Detroit Red Wings, and fan favorite Joey Koser, number 26, So You're Gonna Die. In the background we got, I don't know how loud it is, I have no idea. It's probably pretty annoying to have music being played at the same time, but we're listening to the motion picture soundtrack of the movie Once, which is a cool movie, so people should check it out. It's all original music of a couple musicians that are in the movie, and it's pretty awesome stuff. Let's see what else happened. It is February 10th, 2024, since the last episode. What's been going on in Detroit sports? Well, let me tell you. Got ourselves a Michigan National Championship. That's right. Go Blue. We've got the Detroit Lions winning not one, but two home playoff games. And come in one half away from going to the Super Bowl. That's right. The Detroit Lions. We've got the Detroit Red Wings that were on a quite a tear. And then the whole All-Star break happened. And they're actually right now in the playoffs, if we were to start the day, which is a pretty awesome deal. Then we've got the Detroit Pistons, which, Jesus Christ, what a tire fire. And University of Michigan basketball is also a tire fire, so that's not too fun. You know. So that's your update on sports that everyone needs to know, too. Most people are now going to start listening to some other podcast. Yeah. What else do we have to cover in this thing? Update on, obviously, I didn't die from surgery. Because if I did, this podcast is creepy as shit. Nope, didn't die. Surgery happened, and not quite out of the woods. Had a scan done, everything is moving in the right direction. I just 4 weeks need to see some calcification on my bone, and then I'm completely out of the woods. So, little pins and needles for the next 4 weeks, but physical therapy is happening, and I'm actually can move my arm from the shoulder socket, first time since October. So that's good too. It does feel heavier, not because there's a shit ton of metal in it, because it's really, metal probably doesn't weigh hardly anything, I would think. Yeah, that all worked out so far. And if it doesn't work out, well, then I'm sure the next podcast will be grim. What's been going on with me is, well, I tell you, going through the whole surgery process again, surgery number 55, and it was pretty scary. It was not scary. It was scary. You don't want to have surgeries where you have to flip the coin and see whether or not you're gonna like make it through the anesthesia. And it's crazy to me how my body is just seems fucking surgery's normal. Like, insane to me. Because I wasn't in the hospital hardly at all, and I was out of it right away. And now I'm actually wearing a shirt. So, which I'm sure everyone that's has to put up with me since October is very happy that I'm putting on a shirt again. But, you know, I had to talk to everyone that I love and everyone who loves me and have some conversations that were just way too dramatic for my taste of life, but they had to be done. And it's nice to know that I have people in my life that I care about, and it's nice to know that people care about me. Kind of blows me away sometimes, the difference that can you a life can the arc of a life, you know. Because, and everyone who's been listening to this podcast at least knows too that, you know, I'm always going to have to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's what I do. So, you know, if anything, being a member of AA has shown me that people can come at any stage of life and change. There's an internal power in everyone. Of course, the person's going to have to want to have that kind of change. And I've seen people not do that too, even though it's possible that they could, and they just didn't change. There's been a reoccurring theme the last couple weeks in my life of just the people that are in it and the relationships that I have, and it's constantly about the idea of love and tolerance again. Sure, I've talked about it before. I don't know. I don't remember these episodes. The power of love and tolerance is crazy to me, but the simplicity of it is what's crazy to me. And of course, when I'm talking about anything in these podcasts, I'm just talking about what I'm thinking, about what's going on with me, about things that are in my life. I don't know. I'm not an expert in any of this shit. I think I'm hoping that people can hear this and then think about something, what it means to them, and whatever the hell it means to them is fantastic. And please go share it with another human being. Wish we would have done that, but we don't tend to do that anymore. There is a stereotype of 12-step programs, and you know, I'll tell you this much. I've been in AA, an active member, for 28 years. I don't know how many meetings that is, but it's triple digits at least. And then when I see how 12-step programs are portrayed, either in television or movies, or people write a book about it, or people write a song about it, I've never sat in those fucking meetings. I don't recognize them at all. Thank God, because they're all fucking stupid. And but there's always that stereotypical 12-step person in these stupid fucking movies or television shows about it, where the person needs to have tough love. Unfortunately, that stereotype does exist in 12-step programs. That one does. There's people that believe that tough love is the way to go to someone who is suffering this incredibly tragic moment in their life, so much so that they sought out a 12-step program to help themselves. Nobody does it on a winning streak, that's for damn certain. And I've never understood why would you antagonize the angry person? That's never been. But the whole tough love aspect in AA that I don't particularly care for, and I wish that we as a organization, we as a fellowship, we as groups would have some honest dialogue about how we treat someone who's coming into Alcoholics Anonymous to try to solve however alcoholism had them darken our doors. And it seems like the idea of tough love again is like, oh, you know. And I have also, you know, people too, like, oh, I got to keep it 100, or I'm all about, you know, 100% honesty and all that. And, you know, I don't think brutal honesty is honesty, and I don't think tough love is love. And I don't want that in my life. And it's crazy that this design for living that Abe kind of has taught me throughout the years that I have to continue to fucking practice all the time is, you know, because inside of me, just inside of me, there is this internal anger that I can get lost in self and that anger can come out. And it's an unpleasant event, and it's something that I am not proud of, and when it happens I'm ashamed of. And luckily there's plenty of people in my life that that have been put into my life that helped me realize that and to get working on a solution for when that happens in my life. It's few and far between, thank God, but it used to be every single day. When I look at the idea of trying to help your fellow human being through tough love or keeping it real or whatever the kids these days are saying, you know, keeping it 100 and I'm always going to, you know, tell it like it is, you know, those people seem to be the angriest people I know. Whereas the people that actually didn't give me tough love, they gave me love, because love only is love. Their love doesn't come in any other form, you know. I like, in the beginning of me trying to change my life, I was always looking for unconditional love, and then I found out that love is love again. There's no conditions. It's either love or it's not love. It just is what it is. And honesty is honesty. Now, I can say it with compassion, where I can think about the person that I'm talking to and try to place myself in their shoes and tell them the truth about something, or I can just be like, well, I know something that you don't know, and I'm just gonna, you know, tell you to you straight. I think that person is a child emotionally. I think that person is incredibly scared. I only think that because when I live that way, that's what I am. I am emotionally a child, or I'm just really scared. And I have to have some sort of human connection with someone. And I wasn't prepared or had the muscle to do it, the emotional well-being. So it was easy for me to give you some brutal honesty or some tough love, and it's a waste of goddamn time. Love, man, love scares the shit out of me, the power of it. And it can come in the form of music, words, you know, because I have been in a 12-step program for well over half my life now. That's probably a sad event for someone listening to this. It's actually not. It's an unfair advantage over the rest of the world. And people don't need to go to 12-step programs. Just, you know, the world's churches, the world's religions, all of them, you know, they want you to have regular practice. And I think the practice of all that is try to get a human being to not think of their goddamn self, you know. And for me, I've been lucky enough to be a member of AA to where I can go into a room full of people that are speaking my language, and I can get out of myself and I can listen to another human being. And I think love can come in the very beginning. Love came from people sharing honestly about themselves, and because I could relate to that, unfortunately, because I did not want to relate at the time, because I didn't know how to relate. I just did, and it just hurt, because It was the truth. The truth that I had completely fucked up my life. And that there's a lot of factors in everyone's life, you know, and yeah, most of the factors in my life were pretty fucking ridiculously shitty. And yeah, it definitely scarred me and has made me have to work as a human being in my adulthood, finally. But when people were sharing the honesty of why they were in the room, not like, you need to be in the room, Ed, and you need to get your shit together, Ed. It was like, hey, they were just talking about themselves and only about themselves, but they were talking about me. That was love. And then there would be that member of the room that wanted to, like, be the tough love guy and completely no connection whatsoever. I've been around angry people my entire life. Angry people don't get through to me at all. Angry people are not helpful. And it took me a while to realize why I was so angry is because, again, I was scared. I was scared of just human emotion. I don't know, maybe some people are put on this world can actually naturally handle that. I am not one of those people. And that's no excuse for poor behavior on my part then, come to find out. And that's what those people sharing from the heart did for me and continue to do for me to this day. And now I can feel love for complete strangers because of those rooms when someone comes into it for the very first time. And it kind of transports me back to when I was at my first events of trying to not self-destruct my own life anymore. That's what I need. And it does it for me. It's not that hard to do. You know, how hard is it for us to listen to our fellow man? Why is it that we... And I'm using general, you know, my opinion on what's going on in the world. So, yeah, who gives a shit about that, right? You know, why do we feel the need that everyone needs to understand, you know, my point of view? I can just listen. And my point of view ends up getting through because, you know, it's... I know it's like kindergarten adulthood, but it's just common decency. But man, common decency was goddamn the Olympics for me. I mean, it was hard. I can do it though. And if I can't, then there's no excuse to not do something in my life to try to obtain these things. And so, love and tolerance, kindliness and love. Love in its own right. That's so goddamn simple. It's complicated. But I see it all the time. Children show it to me because of their just simple joy. You know, they haven't become whatever, they haven't listened to a Smiths album yet, I guess. No one's played them the Violent Femmes or the Cure yet. ow, I just hit the scar on my arm goes all the way from my shoulder past my elbow. Man, when they need to put metal in you, they don't screw around. and they did cut my goddamn lion's tattoo, but I mean, they sewed it back up, but I just scar crazy. That's my Scottish, you know, pale skin doesn't heal properly. Anyway, sorry, I just bit my arm. I'm grateful I'm grateful that I know that it's okay for me not to be angry. I'm grateful that I know that it's okay for me to have fear. I'm grateful to know through other people that I can participate in this world. Just like anyone else, I just get to participate as me. And I'm grateful that I'm trying to let everyone else participate as them. Don't get me wrong, it's not like I love everyone. Or there's certain people in this world I choose not to even try to love. That's not very spiritual on my part, but I don't really see myself trying really hard in the future. Mostly because I don't live around those people. I excommunicate them from my life. I don't have time for that. And it's usually the people that are trying the whole tough love route. The whole, you know, brutal honesty. Yeah. It's just stupid. I just don't have time for it again. Time's too precious. Living one day at a time, which everyone is. You know, I was like the old Dan Patrick Sports Center way, way, way back in the day when they would talk about somebody being injured in sports. And, of course, they always list him as day to day, as are we all, you know. And, you know, there's no like special secret to life. We live it. And it's a finite resource. It's gonna run out. And I don't want to live my life to where I'm like supposed to like make some huge mark on this world. Because most of those people in my mind have been douchebags. The mark they left is we're still fucking dealing with. After these fuckers leave. I want to not leave a mark to make someone else's life harder. And whoever's coming up behind me, I want to make it to where they can learn from my mistakes and not have to maybe suffer as long when they make the same ones. I want to be open and honest about these things. And that is, for me, that I mean, I'm not a special person. I think we all are, but that's another podcast when I decide to wear patchouli. I want to search for love. And whatever happens in my day and the people that are going to be in it on any given day, to be present and joyful. Yeah, I guess near-death experiences tend to bring out these kinds of ideas probably for people. I was always wondered, like, because I've never been in a war, but if you're in a war, and I watch so many documentaries, and of course most history documentaries, you're going to have to, the human race is mostly a lot of war. And I was watching a lot of documentaries on World War I, where you would spend, you know, years in a trench if you were lucky enough to still be alive. And then you leave that experience. How somebody could not be insane after that is crazy to me. But some of our, you know, some of our best poets came out of war. Some of our best writers have come out of war. Some of our best musicians have come out of war. And not that I think we should have war, but they realized that there's no hate, anger, fear is a cancer. And there's no surgery for that. But it's a choice. And I choose not to do it to the best of my ability. I'll fuck it up at some point. And the great thing is that I don't have to, like, turn that human mistake of a day into the rest of the day. I can start my day over as many times as I want. And I choose to do that now. Because when I finally do die, I want it to be a celebration of a life, not a tragedy. And just a simple life, not a tragedy. But until that time, of course, I'm not looking forward to that day, or nor am I preparing for it, tell you the truth, because I've got too much life to live today. And too much to just not be a douche. So here's the Joey Koser, 26. The man. That man was a good Detroit Red Wing. So, until the next episode of So You're Gonna Die, I hope everyone listens to this and asks themselves just personally, how are they doing with their love in their heart, and act accordingly, however that is for them. Thanks for listening.